Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Getting closer and closer to the start of the college football season. Thanks for being with us. Brad Sesmat today. R.C. Slocum will join us from Texas A&M, the Hall of Fame coach. Was the head coach at Texas A&M for many, many years. He's close with Todd Graham, very close with him, in fact. And some of the other members of the Sun Devil family. R.C. Slocum will join us from Texas A&M, getting ready for Saturday. I'm so geeked. Man, can you feel it? College season gets started. Wherever the high school's underway, we only have one more week of these fake football games in the NFL, and then we get to the real stuff with the Cardinals. So much going on. So R.C. Slocum coming up. Michael Fabiano will join us right from the NFL Network studios, our weekly fantasy football segment. Guys, he's the Hall of Famer. He's the NFL Network's own, and he's with me every week on this show. All right, so we got to talk about a bunch of fantasy stuff with Michael Fabiano. That comes up at 10:35. And then we'll have Michael Della Russa with us, our weekly talk to United in hour number two. United with a very impressive win over Galaxy 2. Let's get you caught up in what is on my mind in the world of sports now as we get things off and running. Brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. I don't know about you, but last night, I thought I was going to need Noah's Ark to get here today to work in Scottsdale. I wasn't sure. I was driving my Fusion around, running my son over to basketball practice, and we had to run by his school for a couple of minutes. You know, a fifth grader tends to forget homework, and then he gets in Dad's doghouse. When I'm out and about, it doesn't matter if I'm running to a business meeting downtown, coming up here to do the show in Scottsdale, or with my family, I proudly drive the Ford Fusion from Santan Ford. General Manager Tim Hovick and all the great people at Santan Ford, they do it upright. They're very involved, not just with the sports teams, guys. This isn't a sports deal. With Tim, it's a civic deal. He's involved in numerous charities. He's involved with numerous events that go on around the state. So whenever I see Tim out and about, I know that he's on the run just as I am, and I'm in it in the Ford Fusion from Santan Ford. Now, how about you? Are you driving a car or truck, new, used, certified, pre-owned, that makes sense for you and your family? Why don't you stop on in to Santan Ford or shop online at santanford.com, the great, impressive Ford brand at Santan Ford, where it is all about you. R.C. Slocum coming up in about 10 minutes. All right, so Kevin Sumlin, even as I'm sitting here, it showed up on Twitter just a couple of moments ago that Kevin Sumlin is talking about Todd Graham as we speak right now, and holding a press conference down at A&M, getting ready for Saturday's matchup. Eric is going to the game. He will be there, thanks again to Santan Ford, and will be on the sidelines. And you're fired up for this one, I can tell.
Oh, of course.
You get assignments, and when we say assignments, I don't assign anything. Eric and I kind of look at each other and say, well, we should be there. Let's go. So you're going to fly into Houston, and you have, I don't know how many angles around this game. You did Sean Slocum, RC's son. You did that story 3 weeks ago, and I heard yesterday some of the local people were finally catching up to you, so nicely done.
Thank you.
What are you most looking forward to down there? Is it the food? Are you going to screw around? Are you going to work?
No.
I hope you're going to work.
Well, I think it goes without saying. What am I most looking forward to? I'll ask you a quick trivia question. Who did ASU open the season with last year? Exactly. It's Sacramento State.
The Hornets.
That is the answer to that question.
Is it the Green Hornets?
I think it's just the Hornets.
Just the Hornets.
But they do wear green. So that alone, Brad, it's two marquee teams on a big stage in a primetime game. That's all you have to say.
So I'm, you know, we'll get over to the Cardinals cuts in a minute and some of the other stuff, but I feel like the anticipation for this game, what was it, a couple years ago, when we first started, we took the show to Missouri. Remember that? ASU played at Mizzou, and that was fine. It was the first year that Missouri was in the SEC, and they were trying to figure themselves out. This supersedes it because Todd Graham has such strong ties in Texas. ASU has recruited the heck out of Texas. Texas A&M is, I think, a desperate team this year. They didn't play well last year. They have a new defensive coordinator. And Kyle Allen starts at quarterback out of Desert Mountain High School for A&M.
And in the future, if ASU can win this game, Todd Graham can go to these elite kids in Phoenix and say, why would you want to go to Texas A&M? Go all the way. We already beat them.
Yeah,
you can play elite football right here in your own backyard.
You close the borders. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Thursday night, U of A opens their season, and they do so against University of Texas San Antonio. Not a marquee name. They only have six starters returning. They should drill them. But Jared Cohen from Sports 360 AZ will be there. NAU opens up against – you want to do the double? I was thinking about this. Did you even see the start time? I'm flying you to Houston. NAU opens with Stephen F. Austin, which is in Nogadoshes. That's a hot spot.
What time is kickoff?
I don't know, but that's like 60 miles from Houston. Google it. Find out.
60 miles in the greater Houston area could take 6 hours.
Could take 6 hours. You're right. Uber it. You know, don't whine about it. Just take an Uber. But NAU, they're going to start a true freshman quarterback on Saturday against the number 24 ranked team in the country. And so we're very much looking forward to that. There's all these great games, and it starts day after tomorrow with Michigan and Utah. How do you not just lock it down for Harbaugh in his opener against Utah and Kyle Whittingham? And then the Oregon game, you know, they're going to start the kid quarterback out of Eastern Washington. So that's interesting to me. The schedule is just awesome with the national title game here in January. Every week that there's games, we'll be paying attention to it because January is all going to culminate right here in the Valley. So it'll be fun. On the Cardinals end of things, so they made some cuts yesterday. And Lorenzo Alexander is a very nice guy who's very media friendly, and the Cardinals cut him. Dave Zastadil gets cut as a punter, and the rest of it's not really a surprise. I sound really harsh on that front. It's not meant to be. It's just a business. And eventually guys get cut. Not everybody's going to be Larry Fitzgerald, where it appears he's going to start and finish with the same team. Guys' run comes to an end. To give you an idea how little regard I have for preseason football, though, could you imagine being a fan and paying full freight to go watch Philip Sims start at quarterback against Denver? I mean, just think about that. The Cardinals are not going to play Carson, and they're not going to play Stanton. And I don't blame them. That's the smart play by Bruce Arians. But you're a fan who's going to take your family out to watch an NFL preseason game, and you're going to be dealt a steady dose of Philip Sims and Logan Thomas. Now, it's fine that we can sit here and talk about Philip Sims and Logan Thomas. I have no problem with that. It's part of the roster, part of the depth. But any individual who in their right mind is looking at this saying, well, I'm fine not seeing Peyton Manning against Carson Palmer. I'm fine with that. And I'm fine paying the full freight. I mean, I'm just saying. That's why the players, this next go-around on the collective bargaining agreement, it's got to be 18 regular season games and two of these fake football games, not four of them. There was a time where there were six preseason games. If you think about that, six of these bad boys. Just awful. Now, that said, there are some things that I'll be looking forward to seeing in the game on Saturday night. Sean Weatherspoon is going to play finally for the Cardinals. A hamstring has kept him out. They need some help at linebacker. I have some serious concerns about that. The opener with the Saints is a couple of weeks away, and I have to believe that after seeing the Cardinals' offensive line, that Coach Ryan down there is looking at the defense of the Saints and saying, I think we can get after Carson Palmer. I think we can really get after Carson Palmer based on what we saw this last weekend against the Raiders. So you hope that the offensive line is able to make some adjustments if you're a Cardinal fan, because if not, then he's just going to get pounded into submission, he being Carson Palmer. We're not going to see much of that, though, this week. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'm not blaming Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians is making the smart play. Steve Keim's doing the smart thing. We don't need to go play our starters in these games. We know what we have, and we're just going to get through this last one. It's basically a scrimmage. It's nothing more than that. So I'm not going to take much from it. Is Logan Thomas going to beat out Sims at quarterback? If you're down to your third-string quarterback, then you're not going to the playoffs. Let's just be honest with each other. We saw what happened this last year. So that's on my mind today, too. I'm not getting too high or too low off this stuff. Watched the Diamondbacks last night, and, you know, A.J. Pollock has had a terrific year. He's had 158 hits. That's second in the National League, A.J. Pollock. If I were to say to you, who has the second most hits in the National League, you would not come up with that one.
Never. Nope.
Goldschmidt has seven less hits than A.J. Pollock. Goldschmidt is one walk away from breaking Gonzo's record because he hasn't had enough protection behind him this year. But last night, their bullpen just played with both arms squarely around their neck, which is never a good thing when you come out. Brad Ziegler tried to make a great play, and I like Brad. They've had good success with Brad Ziegler. It was one of the very few games in Chip Hale's run this year where the team just didn't play very well or very smart, especially late. They blew a 4-1 lead and they lose 5-4. So they have a doubleheader today. Slowly slipping away. Remember when they were 5 games back and I'm sitting here pretending to be Mr. Smart Guy and saying, hey, remember I said 84 wins, but I didn't anticipate them going, dropping 7 of 8. I knew the schedule was going to get tougher. They just haven't played well, quite frankly. And they have the Rockies today, but I'm still a fan. Love the game. On the other side, R.C. Slocum will be with us. We'll talk with the head football coach from past days at Texas A&M, a legendary name in the college football circles, a Hall of Famer, and his son, Sean. This is a great angle. His son, Sean, is the special teams coach for Todd Graham in Arizona State. So Coach Slocum's going to get a look at his son up close and personal. That's coming up. And then Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network on the fantasy football front, as we do it every week here on Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Welcome back, Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We are Arizona-centric. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Very excited to get to Saturday's matchup in Houston. It seems like all offseason here in Arizona, we've been talking about Arizona State at Texas A&M. You add in a couple of interesting angles with Todd Graham and his love of the state of Texas and his coaching career there. You add in Sean Slocum, the special teams coach at Arizona State. His father's going to join us here in a moment. You add in all the top players. There's 4 top high school recruits from Arizona that are at Texas A&M that said no to ASU and are playing for Kevin Sumlin. So there's just a lot on the line on Saturday. Eric is going to be there for Sports 360 AZ, filing reports, doing video on the sidelines and all that. As mentioned, R.C. Slocum joins us now, 14-year head coach at Texas A&M, college football Hall of Famer. He joins us for a couple of minutes. Coach, it's Brad Sussmat. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Brad. Good to talk to you.
Good talking to you, Coach. What's the feeling down at Texas A&M about Saturday's matchup with ASU?
Oh, everyone's really excited. You know, it's not every day that you get to open the season in this kind of game. You know, in recent years, seemed like in modern football, people try to schedule a couple of mullets for the first couple of games, you know, to try to get off to an easier start. But this is, I think, 2 of the better teams in college football opening up the season.
All right. And so are you torn with your son being on the coaching staff for Todd Graham? Are you torn at all, R.C.?
Well, you know, I've spent now over 40 years of my life at Texas A&M. I coached 30 seasons total here. And I tell people this week, I have to live with Aggies every day. So I don't have to live with the Sun Devils. I got a son out there and some good friends, and Coach Graham and Coach Casty and some other people out there. So, I'm looking forward to the game. It's kind of an interesting thing. I normally go out and watch A&M practice. I normally go to some of their workouts. I have a locker in the coach's locker room. Coach Sumlin's been very gracious with me, and I work out over at the weight room. But because of the game and because of my ties to Coach Graham and, of course, my son and Tim Casty, and I've refrained from going to practice. I haven't watched A&M at all. I didn't think it would be proper for me to go be hanging around out there watching their schemes and watching what they're doing, knowing that they're playing my son. So I've tried to remove myself from the act, and I haven't discussed what Sean's doing with him either. So I'm gonna try to remain neutral in this particular game and just go watch the game, and it should be a good one. I'm looking forward to watching. I think both these teams. I think we're going to be better than what maybe we've been projected to be, and I know Arizona State's going to be good. I've over the spring talking to Sean and this summer, and then seeing all the people who do those kinds of ratings. Every program I hear has got them picked very high in the Pac-10 South, and so it should be a great opening ball game. Exciting. I know Todd's excited about coming back to Texas. I know Sean is. He'll have classmates here, and he'll have family there at the game, including me, but he'll have his children there and other friends of his. So there's a lot of sidebar interest in the game. I know Arizona State recruits, obviously, in the state of Texas, and A&M recruits out in Arizona, too. So.
Now, they've done a good job of that, that's for sure. R.C. Slocum's with us, the College Football Hall of Fame coach from Texas A&M. For a couple of minutes, Sports 360 AZ, AZ Central Sports. When Todd Graham takes the field and you see Todd, you mentioned Tim Cassidy, tremendous man. And how far back do you go with them, and what are your first recollections of Todd?
Well, Todd was an outstanding high school coach here in Texas when I met him. And every summer we'd have these summer camps where we'd have hundreds of kids come in. So what I tried to do was pick out some of the top coaches in the state and invite them to come in and work with us as part of our staff in our summer camps. And Todd was one of those guys that I recognized back then as a bright young coach. And one of the things that stood out, I brought in quite a number of those guys that would come in and work with us, work with my staff with these kids, because we had too many numbers to handle all of them. But one thing about Todd, he came down here and he would he would hang around at night. He'd hang around at practice. Every time, you know, you'd get around him, he was wanting to know about this. How do you do this? How do you do that? And you could, I was very impressed with him. He was, you could tell that he was really energetic and ambitious about his future. I had a guy on my staff, Steve Craigthorpe, who later became the head coach at Tulsa, and he got to know Todd back then, too. And he ended up hiring Todd at Tulsa as a defensive coordinator. And so we were all impressed with him and impressed with his ambition and his interest in football. He took advantage of being down here with a good college staff, and he was picking their brains every spare minute of the day. So I'm not at all surprised with the success. I've followed his career. We've stayed in touch, and very impressed with what he's done out there at Arizona State. And Tim Cassidy was on my first staff. He actually worked here at A&M when I was an assistant.
Oh.
Then he went to Florida. And one of the first things I did when I became the head coach, I called him up and said, I want to bring you back, which we did. And he was with me the whole time.
He's a terrific man, that's for sure. Both of them are. On the field, so Kyle Allen was the player of the year here in Arizona. He decided to go to Texas A&M. What do you make out of him and how he's adjusted at quarterback under Kevin Sumlin?
Well, first of all, I went to there was a dinner last Friday night, a kind of a preseason kickoff dinner, and I actually sat at a table with Kyle last Friday night and talked to him, and what a great young guy he is. Just a classy kid, intelligent, and just a first-class guy. So, and I've watched him play, obviously. I've seen him in practice, and I've seen him on the field playing last year, and he's got a whole lot of talent, but he has a whole lot to go with that talent, too. So I'm very impressed with him.
The pipeline from Arizona to Texas A&M obviously has been a big storyline. But I think a storyline, Coach, that has been lost in this week is John Chavis, a new defensive coordinator that Arizona State is going to face. And for you folks at A&M, first time to see him on the sideline. What do you expect out of the defense in John Chavis against Arizona State?
I've known John Chavis for a long time. I knew him when he was at Tennessee, followed his career there, and followed his career at LSU. And I am thrilled. I have a defensive background myself.
Sure.
And I really admire him as a coach. I like his style of coaching. I think we'll be better just because of him. I think he will elevate in time as we get better players. I think we'll really be good, but I think we'll be good this Saturday because of John Chavis. We'll be much improved on defense just with his influence, I think. And I feel that strongly about him. I couldn't feel any better about that position of having someone that knows what he's doing. He's been at the highest level. I think he's got about 20 years experience in the SEC playing against the best over there, and so he knows what he's doing. And I tell people, we're not going on defense. It won't be because of coaching.
He's got to have the players to do it. Before I let you go,
right. So
it's not a home game, but it is a home game. I think most Sun Devil fans know they're going into a place that's going to be 90% A&M. What is it about the passion of A&M Aggie fans and the fandom around A&M, and what do you expect Saturday to be like at Reliant Stadium?
It'll be loud, for sure, because that stadium kind of lends itself to being loud. And, you know, we sell more student tickets than anybody in college football. Mm. You know, our kids come to the games, and we'll have about 30,000 students at every ball game. They stand throughout the ball game. And so that's exciting, and it'll be loud. I haven't said much about my son Sean in this interview, but I'm really excited about him being there. I'm proud of him. He's got a great coaching background. He worked here for me. He coached at Southern Cal. He coached at Pittsburgh. He coached at Ole Miss. He spent 9 years in the National Football League, and I'm happy that he's in the environment that he's in, working for a coach like Coach Graham out there, and I think he'll be a good addition to that coaching staff, and I couldn't be more proud of him being there, and I look forward to seeing the game.
It'll be fun on Saturday. R.C., I appreciate the time and the visit. Thanks.
Good deal. See you. Have a good day.
Have a good day. R.C. Slocum there, Hall of Fame coach at Texas A&M. He was terrific as a defensive coordinator with John Robinson at USC, so be a great matchup on Saturday. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. And now, Michael Fabiano. Time to talk fantasy football with the Hall of Famer right there at the NFL Networks. He joins us every week as we're getting ready for year number three together doing this. And I think the news right off the top is Fred Jackson, Seattle Seahawks, getting a lot of questions already, Michael. What does this mean? It's the handcuff for Marshawn Lynch, but what do you make out of Fred Jackson, the Seahawks backfield?
He's going to be the handcuff for Marshawn. It's always been the Robert Turbin, Christian Michael question. Well, Fred Jackson being in that mix potentially makes it much easier to handcuff Beast Mode.
And Julius Thomas, getting a lot of questions about Julius Thomas and the future there. The drafts have already taken place.
He was on my bust list because of two reasons. One, he can't stay healthy. Two, Peyton Manning to Blake Bortles. You do the math. And this is a situation now where he's draftable. I wouldn't drop him if I had drafted him. But now you're looking at having to find a replacement. And the tight end position, I mean, it's thin. It is ridiculously thin, especially now that Thomas is hurt. So you're going to have to look at potential sleepers, breakouts like a Zach Ertz, a Tyler Eifert, maybe a Kyle Rudolph to sort of put a Band-Aid on the wound until Thomas comes back. And even when he does come back, I don't know that he's going to be that great. He certainly won't be what he was in Denver, that is for sure.
Michael Fabiano with us from the NFL Network. Kirk Cousins situation, Washington Redskins quarterback. You buying, you selling, you saying stay away?
I have him ranked in the top 20. So I would certainly look at him as a low QB2. He's draftable as a QB2 in 12-team leagues. And also, of course, if you're in a 2-QB league, he's going to be picked in every league. What I've seen in the stats that intrigues me is that when Cousins started last year, I believe it was 5 games, DeSean Jackson had really good numbers. He was averaging about 77 yards a game. He scored 3 touchdowns in those 5 games. Pierre Garçon's numbers were better too, but they weren't so good that he's going to be utilized as a prominent member of your fantasy team. But remember, Cousins likes to go long, and DeSean Jackson's a guy who likes to stretch the field, go vertically. So this is a good it's a good thing for Jackson's value. Of course, he's banged up right now and hoping to be back for week 1. But I like this. No indecision. RG3 is not going to get that job back outside of an injury. And even if Cousins gets hurt, it could be Colt McCoy. So at least for right now, RG3's days as even a rosterable player in the deepest of leagues is all but over.
Okay, we're getting a lot of questions on email, brad@sports360az.com, brad@sports360az.com, or people on Twitter shooting me as well. So let's go to Eric in Tucson. Tyrod Taylor or Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, not even close. Ryan Tannehill's looked amazing in the preseason. He was a top 10 quarterback last year. He's not elite, but he's pretty good. If he can be more consistent, he could end up being one of the best draft bargains in fantasy. I'm not buying into Tyrod Taylor just yet. I love the fact that he can run with the football. I'm not drafting him, again, outside of deeper leagues, 2 QB leagues.
And he had a follow-up, Sankey or Cobb in Tennessee. What are you hearing on the backfield there?
Well, it looks like Sankey's going to end up starting in week one. Cobb's got a little bit of an injury that hurt his chances of showing himself off in preseason week three. But at some point in the regular season, I would be shocked if Cobb didn't end up starting a few games for the Titans. So if you're looking for the upside guy who's not going to cost you more than a late-round pick, I'd go with Cobb.
Michael Fabiano with us from the NFL Network. Tom and Flagstaff, Danny Woodhead or Joseph Randall?
Randall, for sure. I know everyone is excited about Darren McFadden after the Cowboys' last game, but we're talking about a player who's rushed for 1,000 yards once in his career, a guy who's had over 120 fantasy points one season in his career, a guy who is synonymous with being injured. I still like Joe Randall.
What do you make out of Woodhead? In the Charger backfield, I should say, just overall, because Melvin Gordon hasn't done much.
Right, and I was excited when they got him. You know how I always joke around about Florida State quarterbacks, USC wide receivers. Wisconsin running backs haven't really been that great in the NFL either. A lot of people say, oh, you're crazy, that's hogwash. Melvin Gordon's going to be a different player. And he's explosive, and he's got a chance to be really good, both for fantasy owners and the Chargers. But so far he hasn't really shown up as much as I'd like to see him. I wouldn't be drafting him as anything more than a high RB3 right now. And if he struggles, you're looking at a committee with Brandon Oliver and Danny Woodhead in on passing downs, and fantasy owners are going to go crazy. It would almost be like Ryan Matthews all over again.
A couple more questions out of the mailbag for the Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network. Mark and Chandler, pick two, Carlos Williams, Trey Mason, Andre Ellington.
The last two, Carlos Williams, I don't know that he has a role right now in Buffalo. At this point, we're not really sure how the depth chart's going to play out behind LeSean McCoy, but to this point, I'm thinking it's Anthony Dixon who'll be the handcuff. But Carlos Williams right now is not a rosterable asset in most leagues.
Tony and Globe, Alfred Morris or Darren McFadden?
Oh, Morris, for sure. I know he hasn't been as good as he was as a rookie over the last 2 years, but he's still a solid RB2.
So as we finish the segment, what are some things that you're looking for in this last week of preseason? Or in your view, is every depth chart pretty much done?
No, I mean, a lot of them are, but the fourth week of the preseason doesn't really give you much insight because
right.
The starters don't play very much, if
right.
at all.
Right.
So there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered. What about Cleveland's backfield? What about Atlanta's backfield? What about the Giants' backfield? I mean, we sort of know it's going to be Rashad Jennings and then Vereen and maybe Andre Williams as the goal line back potentially, but we're not sure how the roles are going to pan out there. There's a lot of question marks that we need to be answered. Is Devontae Parker going to end up being a starter in Miami once he comes back from injury, and when will he come back from injury? When will Tom Brady come back? Is he going to be suspended, and is it going to be upheld? He's already been suspended, but we don't know what the court case is. So there's a lot of question marks out there, to be honest with you. When is Arian Foster coming back? First we heard he's going to miss half the season. Now there's reports that in a best-case scenario, he could be back for the beginning of October. So a lot of things out there that fantasy owners are still questioning at this point in time, and I don't know that the fourth week of the preseason is going to give you many answers. The only thing that we know for sure at this point is that we are looking at another unpredictable NFL season. That's the only thing that's ever predictable about the NFL, Brad,
is that it
can be very unpredictable. So in terms of fantasy, I just actually updated my top 200. I just updated my rankings. They're up to date right to 9:30 a.m. Pacific time.
Wow.
And you know what? We had Fred Jackson situation where he was released. Tyrod Taylor was named the starter. Kirk Cousins was named the starter. Lots of stuff happens. Lots of moving parts. That rank list is never really fully done until the preseason is completed. So, and I had a draft last night. I've got four more in the next week. And then we'll be ready to kick things off.
If you're drafting today, top five, it doesn't matter what position, what are you seeing? What are the trends that you're seeing? Or just from your view, if it's first five picks in any draft in some sort of order are going to be who?
You know me. It's all running backs. I mean, it's going to be Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles, Eddie Lacy, and Marshawn Lynch. Somewhere Matt Forte could sneak into the top five. Some people who disagree with me on quarterbacks, maybe they pick Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck. We had our NFL Fantasy Live experts draft recently, and Luck went in the top three, I believe. I think he was third overall. Some people may love Antonio Brown at wide receiver if you're in a PPR league, but for the most part, those running backs are going to be the first five picks in some way, shape, or form. But that's just in a vacuum because I do not like drafting anything but running backs with the first five picks. Honestly, I don't like drafting anything but running backs in the first round typically.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always, Michael. Thanks.
All right, pal. Take care.
It's Michael Fabiano right there on the set at the NFL Network. He joins us every week. Fantasy football from the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Good stuff. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. I'm sitting here during the break looking at what's going on out in Texas A&M. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona centric. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. So their defensive coordinator, John Chavis, who you would think is the second coming of the greatest defensive coordinator in the history of mankind, talking about Arizona State, he expects DJ Foster this Saturday to get the ball more than just out of the slot, that they expect him to carry the football some. And I would anticipate that too. I think that's why Saturday will be so interesting, because there's the belief that Mike Bercovici is a big upgrade over Taylor Kelly. It's like piling on Taylor Kelly has become somewhat fashionable. And the irony of it is Taylor Kelly is on the Sun Devil coaching staff. He's a GA there. I think that's the title they gave him. But, the Burko's going to be the guy. Have they replaced Jalen Strong? They may say they have, but until you see, that's what's fun about this. Of course, on the Arizona State side, everything is great and we have everything in place. Outwardly, you say that, but inwardly, are there some concerns within the program about certain positions in certain places? This is a team that, if they don't play in games in late November that are very meaningful this year, then it is a disappointing season. Please read my lips. If you're going to San Diego for a bowl game, this is a bad year. It just is. It's not bad for those kids to go to bowls. I'm big on that, but the expectations, and rightly so, have been ratcheted up.
And that's a good thing, Brad, because in the past, you and I have talked about, in the past it was, you know what, we should just shoot for the Holiday Bowl. Just get to the Holiday Bowl. That's a quote-unquote.
If we can go to El Paso,
that's a good
season.
That's a good season for ASU. Now it's like, oh, we have to go play fill-in-the-blank team in the Holiday Bowl.
If we go to the Advocare Bowl in San Antonio, then we've killed it. No, you haven't. You're going to kill me with a fork in my eye if I have to go to another one of these second-tier bowls. That's just how it is. And so when you go into that large space, you have to be ready to be under the microscope a little bit more. I'm not going to sit here and crush them if they lose to Texas A&M on Monday. That's not the point of this. If they lose on Saturday and Monday we come, or Tuesday, we're off on Labor Day, but if we come in on Tuesday and they're 0-1, it's how did they lose the game? And let's put this in context. In the big scheme, this does not impact the Pac-12 South standings in any way, any shape, or any form. But if you get off to a good start and you're ranked in the top 10 and your next couple of games are walkovers before you get to the SC and UCLA part of the schedule, then you're already way ahead of the game in getting to where you want to be. When I hear this, well, you have to temper enthusiasm and temper expectations. No, we don't. When you are the big boy on the block, you don't temper enthusiasm or expectations. You just don't. So I can't get enough of the game. Now, there's some other stuff today that's kind of fun, and we have Michael Della Russa with us in a few minutes, our weekly Talk to United Coach segment. So there's this video of Snoop and Steve Nash. Steve Nash has come out of retirement. Steve Nash has come out of retirement because, of course, he needs to play basketball with Snoop Dogg. Nash plays pretty well, but he's got somebody there. I could have gone and rebounded for Nash. I don't know if that's a little Nash that's there. But Steve decided to put this up on his Twitter feed that I'm out there, and he's got an apple in his mouth. Of course he does. Who wouldn't want to have an apple in their mouth when you're with Snoop Dogg shooting jumpers? And why not put it up on my Instagram account? Would I rule it out of the realm of possibility, okay, that late in the season, and I mean late into the season, mid-March, late March, that we would not start hearing some rumors of Steve Nash could come out of retirement. I don't know. Steve's very calculated. Steve's one of the smartest guys business-wise, business savvy, everything. There are certain guys that you look at and they have it figured out from a business standpoint. Larry Fitzgerald clearly has it all figured out from a business standpoint. He has very smart people. They put him in the right places. They branded him smartly. He's not going to do something way over the top. He's going to reach out to mass appeal audience. That's just who he is. That's what he's done. Very smart. Steve is much the same way. Steve does not have somebody take a video of him shooting with Snoop Dogg with an apple in his mouth and post it on his account unless there's something there that he wants us to know about. Now, Steve's going to come back, and he'll be at the Suns game on October 30th, and they will retire his jersey into the Ring of Honor, as they should, and that will be a great night. Steve has a movie coming out that's been on the front page of Variety magazine about ecstasy. Steve is directing a movie about ecstasy. I'm not making this up. To me, that's far more interesting than him going into the Ring of Honor. It shows really the depth and the type of guy that he is. This was the ecstasy era, and when he was in Dallas, what he saw of it. I'm very interested to see how this plays out. It's much like yesterday when we showed you the trailer for Concussion. I had dozens of notes yesterday about that movie and how gripping that trailer was. So anything that Steve does, he's not one of these guys like, yeah, I just feel like putting an Instagram photo of me with an apple in my mouth shooting a video here with Snoop Dogg. So there's something there. I don't know what it is, but I think it's kind of cool that you know, you have Steve out there in that way, shape, or form. The Cardinals and Denver, that is on Thursday night this week.
Big game. Big game.
I've already done, you're egging me here. I've already done the 2 minutes of please get these things over with. I have this pen right here. I could jam it into my eye to see another preseason football game. I really could. I could stick it in my ear and pull it out the other side if I have to watch another one of these games and really believe that people pay to watch this stuff.
Was it you that told me they used to play 6 preseason games?
6.
But the regular 14. Season was, okay.
Yeah, so it's always 20. The magic number is 20. So 6 preseason games, 14 regular season. Now it's turned into 16-4. Can the players ever get it to 18-2? But, you know, what's going to happen on that? It's like what we've seen here. You know, a guy gets hurt and he's lost for the season in training camp. So he gets lost for the season in week one of an 18-game season. The quality, the product, the NFL is a great product. I mean, just football in general. I shouldn't even single out NFL. Football's a great product. Doesn't matter if it's high school, college, or pro. Doesn't matter. It's different audiences that take in all three, but it's an enormous audience nonetheless. If you start doing 18 regular season games, and I've talked to players, there are players that have to manage their way through a season because they get hit on so much. It's not like every play they're in a car wreck. They're not. So you're going to have more players, if they did have an 18-game regular season, who are going to take plays off. You're going to have a deeper roster. You'd have to have roster expansion because you can't sit there and send the same 4 defensive linemen or 6 defensive linemen or even 8 in a rotation basis out there. Same with the offensive linemen. But I'd rather see that than guys getting hurt in games that don't matter. And there's just entirely too much of that. That's why, like on the college end this weekend, it's week one. There's this cool game this weekend. And I know this is not big breaking news here, but this is just who I am. And I look at things a little differently here. Michigan State, Eric, they open their season. Now, Michigan State's one of the powers in the country, one of the best programs in the nation.
Could easily make the playoffs this year.
Absolutely.
Easily.
They're opening on the road at Western Michigan. Michigan State is traveling to Western Michigan. That's the equivalent of Arizona State opening at Cal Poly. Or traveling up to NAU to play. No offense to our friends at NAU, but that's just a fact. So on the surface, very cool of Michigan State. So this stadium that they're playing at is in Kalamazoo, Michigan. It's called Waldo Stadium. There's a train that goes right by the stadium that honks its horn. Usually, you know, you go like to baseball games, you may hear a horn in the back. You don't go to football games and hear trains driving by. So they're going, here's Big Bad Michigan State going to this tiny little stadium in Western Michigan against in Kalamazoo. I love that story.
I wonder how big that stadium is, because Michigan State Stadium is gigantic.
Sure.
So I'll Google Waldo
and
Stadium.
And you know what? In
capacity.
Waldo Stadium, if it holds 30,000 people, yeah, just Google it. There's probably – that stadium will be sold out. There's
good
probably,
guess. 30,200.
Yeah, 30,200. So you know that Michigan State fans are going to try to cram that place, and the people in Kalamazoo with Western Michigan have to be completely pumped about it. The score may be 80-0. That doesn't matter. That's just a cool story. I think it's cool that Oregon is opening with Eastern Washington. Oregon took away Vernon Adams, the quarterback. Vernon Adams, if you haven't heard about him, is probably one of the top two or three most interesting storylines in all of college football this year. Season starts Thursday night. Jim Harbaugh's got to be the number one new story on the block that's really fascinating and interesting. Vernon Adams has to be right there. And he's opening against his former college. And he passed his math test on like August 10th. Mark Helfrich tells us at Media Day, the head coach at Oregon, that, oh, we're not sure about our quarterback situation. Then he turns right around and names him the starter. Of course he does, because he has Michigan State the following week. UCLA opens up against Virginia. I don't know if Virginia is going to have former Chaparral star Connor Brewer as their starting quarterback. It's going to be his fourth college, no matter what. If he's on the sidelines holding a clipboard, or if he's the guy, that's of interest to me. You know, the Big Ten, you're going to watch Minnesota take a beating from your TCU Horned Frogs.
Maybe. Road game, first game of the year, Frogs are beat up. I think it's going to be a lot closer.
How can you be beat up on week one?
Just off-season injuries. Guys have surgery, get hurt in the spring.
So Stanford plays Northwestern, and I bring this game up because Pac-12. And Stanford, I think, is going to be pretty good. I think that if you look at the north of the Pac-12, that Stanford's going to be pretty good. Ohio State plays at Virginia Tech. This, on the surface, shouldn't be a game at all, but it is Ohio State starting out the season. And you have Alabama playing Wisconsin on Saturday night. Like, as soon as the Sun Devil game is over against A&M, Alabama, Wisconsin, that's really interesting. But all these games involve the Big Ten. And is the Big Ten going to be any good this year? We talked about it last year, and Ohio State just came out of the blue and ran over everybody. So I can't get enough of this stuff. All right, Dello Russo is next. Coach Dello, Michael Dello Russo, Arizona United SC. I've had a lot of questions sent to me this morning for Coach Dello. We'll have that next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Off we go into hour number two, and every Tuesday at 11:05, we bring you head coach Michael Dello Russo as we walk United and talk United, Arizona United SC. The head coach joins us for a couple of minutes. We have a couple of goals that we'll show the coach, and we'll have some fun with that as they get ready for Real Monarchs SLC. That's coming up this Saturday night at 7:30 at Scottsdale Stadium. Second biggest crowd of the year to watch United take down Galaxy. They sweep the year from Galaxy 2 from Los Dos, 3-0. A terrific match that ended up with a lot of drama late. And this has to be a very good week for Coach Dello Russo to join us. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing well. How are you, Brad?
Great. Great, thanks. Let's go back on Saturday night. You had wind, you had lightning, you had rain falling. It was all the great conditions. You had over 4,000 fans, second biggest crowd of the season. And you pull off a great win. So I think all in all, a terrific night for the organization.
Yeah, I think it was fantastic. First and foremost, we want to thank everybody for coming out, sticking around. I think that was tremendous. And I think we provided them a great show to stick around for. On the field, obviously, one of our most complete performances of the year and a very exciting night all the way around.
So let's go back through the goals. Let's start with Long's score. And how that was set up, and take us through that goal.
Yeah, it was just off a little bit of a counter, right over the top. And he did well dribbling-wise going at the defenders, persevered through. Obviously, we got a little bit of a lucky bounce coming through. Long was in the right place at the right time, and what goal scorers are supposed to be. He put in his 13th of the year.
He is really... when he gets the opportunities, I think that's just been the challenge this year, right? When he gets the opportunities, he's able to capitalize.
That's his job, right? He's doing his job for us. So, yeah, he's been good with that this year, and we've needed him, especially in the last few games.
Okay, so late in the match, it's level at one, and Shilo gets an opportunity, but a terrific cross from Tyler Ruthven. I didn't think there was that much made of it, but let's just go through that play.
Yeah, it's a tough free kick from where it was at, but we had to throw numbers forward. Bounce out to Tyler, and he did a tremendous job. Played a great ball back post. Both Long and Shilo were there, and Shilo did a tremendous job of taking one time out of the air and putting it on Tram. Again, it was something that was very exciting. Great executed play, and obviously there was a lot of excitement after that. We just look forward to trying to build on that.
Yeah, because Los Dos showed up, they weren't messing around. They brought a big, big-time lineup, and to take them down with that type of lineup, you talk about, I would think, a real strong message to you and your staff for the job that you guys have done and for the players to play through some adversity. I think all around a real good building block for you.
Yeah, it was. The credit goes to our players. So they came out and they got the job done. They knew the lineup that they were going up against. They started seven guys that are on contracts for them and had another two on the bench. And our players, everything about their maturity, their attitude, how they prepared for the game, how they executed what we wanted to do, a lot of credit to them. And they're the reason why we got the result.
This Saturday night, back at it at home against Monarchs SLC at 7:30 at Scottsdale Stadium. Only two home matches remaining this Saturday night at 7:30. You can see United SC and Real Monarchs SLC at 7:30. I got a lot of questions from fans on the Aaron Dennis red. I don't have the video of it. I wish I did. I should have thought of that. But the red card on Dennis had a lot of people upset. The announcer of the match said it was a joke. I don't know if I should have gone that far. But what was your view of it? I don't want you to get fined. So
I had a very good view of it. If anybody saw me during the game, they'd obviously see what I thought of it, and my thought has not changed since then. So, a bit unfortunate.
So, from there, how's the officiating been this year, Michael?
It's a developmental league. That's how we see it for the players, but I think we also see it as a developmental league for the referees. Mm-hmm. These are a lot of guys trying to make a splash and trying to get up to MLS and first division. So, we're going to hit some roadblocks and some learning curves, and I think we've done that quite a bit. But it's just the same exact thing as the players. So it's one of those things where you kind of got to go into a game expecting that. The gentleman that ref for game the other day, he's a tremendous individual, but, it was his first professional game reffing. So you have to take that into consideration. All in all, it's one of those things where, you got to play through that. It's something that you can't control, the players can't control, and I think both teams did a fairly good job of it. At the end of the day, I think it was a fair result of what happened.
How about your backline play? I'm getting some fans that said that Zaev, Filipovic, Ruthven, Scotty, that you had a really good showing on the back line. Can you talk about them a little bit?
Yeah, I think our back four was tremendous. I think Edward, Zaya, and Tyler Ruthven were very, very good on the night for us. They've built a partnership, not so much through verbal communication, but something that I think they understand each other. Edward gave us something a little different that we've been missing this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think the organization of our back four just went through our whole team. And I think defensively, it was a great showing for us as a team overall, and something to build on, but also something that's much needed right now. And those are things that need to have happen. If you want to get results, that's why we've been able to get results the way we have recently.
Scotty Morrison cleared the 6,000 career minutes mark. After I visited with you on the field, I was walking off. I ran by him and said, "How many miles is that?" And he just kind of laughed. And 6,000 career minutes. He's not showing 6,000 career minutes, is he? Michael?
Sorry, I missed that, bro.
Yeah, we were talking about Scott Morrison. Over 6,000 career minutes. He's just he's been a real stalwart for you this year.
Yeah, he's. I say it all the time. He's a true professional, and in the way he takes care of his body on and off the field, it shows. And I think it's great to. for the young players to see that, because I think a lot of them take it for granted, you know, about how long you play in this game, and careers are short. Scotty's, you know, he's out of the norm for a lot of people, and, you know, it's a tribute to how he's taken care of himself and the way he's approached every day, and, you know, he's a great role model for a lot of people.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time, as always. Thanks, Coach.
All right, Brad. Take care.
It's Michael De La Russa with us for a couple of minutes. Saturday night, Real Monarchs SLC at 7:30. 7:30 at Scottsdale Stadium, just two home matches remaining, and every game crucial, trying to get into the postseason. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat.